Hey, before we get started, gotta go ahead and pay the bills around here. Go ahead and do me a quick favor. I've got two books out. I know, you're probably thinking if this is the first time you've heard of me or the first time you've actually heard me in a while. My God, Remso can read? Yeah, I can read and write. And if you're my ninth grade English teacher, guess what? I can do it in freaking English too. Because unlike my name, all I know is English. Oh, blowing your mind and blow the minds of those around you with my two books, Stay Away from the Libertarians, as well as my newest novel, How to Succeed in Politics and Other Forms of Devil Worship. Those are, I gotta go for the shorter titles. Stay Away from the Libertarians and How to Succeed in Politics and Other Forms of Devil Worship. Available on my website, rwmartinez.com, as well as Amazon and Barnes & Noble online. Check them out. How to Succeed in Politics and Other Forms of Devil Worship and Stay Away from the Libertarians. Available. Well, you know how the internet works. You can go ahead and find it yourself. Pick them up today in print and digital and help support the show. And, Hey, I like making money. I'm not gonna say no. Everything comes back here. Help me out. Buy my books. That's all. That's about it. Move with the rhythm. Shake it up. Stop when the clock hits 13. You've been working, but you're flirting with the weekend. You can freak out. One in a million. You're a gem shine when the light grows dim. Sing 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 1. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it. Friends, comrades, welcome once again to a brief moment of my day, your day, where we can all ask, as Remso was recording this, was he wearing pants? Well, to answer your question, for this episode at least, I am. Thank you once again for tuning into the Remso Martinez Experience. Go ahead and do me a favor. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at HeyRemso, 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 for more fun, debauchery, everything else. This week, it really kind of reminded me one of the things that I love and hate about being in the newsroom, especially being the social media coordinator for the Washington Times. The great thing, the coolest thing, is that you are in the lifeblood of history. The things that you witness, the things that you're going to hear, the things that you're going to see are truly one of those opportunities where you can say, I was there when historic events were occurring, such as the whole impeachment process. I mean, it's been crazy to watch. So that's been great. The other thing is I've had to be on social media all day working for a major newspaper having to deal with the impeachment. And let me tell you, nobody knows anything. And yeah, I'm talking to people on freaking Twitter. Like, most people can't write properly. Most people can't form cohesive thoughts. Most everything turns into at least, you know, 7 degrees of your Hitler. It's stressful. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like sometimes I really, really hate technology. I think one of my favorite films, well, it wasn't always my favorite film, but I've kind of grown into it over the last couple of years, was Escape from L.A. Because at the end of the film, what does Kurt Russell do? He just shuts off all electricity. And as he's walking away from like the supercomputer that he destroyed that shut off all the power to all the electronics on the West Coast, for example, he goes over and lights a match and he says, look, something's still working, and he walks away like a badass. Sometimes I wish I could kind of do that, you know, like reset society in that way and force people to actually like make eye contact with each other. And if you're going to call me out on social media, at least you do it to my face where I could throw something at you because I'm not a punk. But, you know, this has been something for a while that I've always kind of dealt with. How do I unplug? I mean, study after study, which I'm not going to cite because I just pulled this up right now. I didn't really plan on talking about this, but study after study shows that when we think about the amount of time that we spend looking in front of a screen, when we think about how much time we spend online, it's really troubling. And like, I know I have a friend who's a therapist, and without getting into too much detail, she told me that, you know, a lot of millennials specifically, especially like boomers, for example, boomers love Facebook. In case you haven't been on Facebook for the last like 5-6 years. But I mean, social media is causing people a lot of stress. I mean, I remember when like MySpace was a thing and people were killing themselves because of cyberbullying on MySpace. Now like everyone's a cyberbully, or you're like me and you've just learned to love sharing cat videos and stuff like that. But about a year ago, when I think I had just published Stay Away from Libertarians, book number one, I'm trying to, you know, pick myself back up online and things like that, make myself relevant, go on the podcast circuit, try and do a YouTube show every once in a while. So that way I didn't actually have to create anything myself. I could just bum off my friends who do stuff. At that point, I just finished starting up my online copywriting business. But around this time too, so to break it down, I was going through a lot of stress, lots of changes, wasn't very productive, really stressed out. I'd also just finished neck surgery, so I'm feeling physically like shit. I'm on a ton of medication, and I can't sleep. So I'm listening to the Joe Rogan Experience, and he's talking about this thing where basically he goes into a tank that closes, and when he goes in there, it's pitch black, but it's got several feet of water and about 1,000 pounds of freaking Epsom salt. And he just floats there for an hour, and the water is the same temperature as his body, so like 98 degrees or something like that. You're floating, so you don't have to worry about like drowning or whatever, and it's dark. So all you can basically experience are your own thoughts, because with everything going on, you're basically disconnecting from, well, I mean, basically everything. So I'm listening to this, and like, I like Joe Rogan, but sometimes like it gets a little bit trippy. But at this point, he's talking about, you know, the physical stuff. And I mean, this guy's gone through so many surgeries, so many injuries, a lot of concussions, stuff like that, as a UFC fighter. So if he actually believes, and he believes in this thing so much, the sensory deprivation tank, also known as a float tank, he likes it so much, he had one put and built in his house. I know he's got a lot of money. He's doing pretty good. You know, he's got some walk around money, some cheddar, you know what I'm saying? But if he's going to do that, obviously you have to actually believe in it. And doctors showed, while it is kind of like a placebo effect, there are no like magic substantial studies show of its results. People who go in there do admit that when they come out, you know, they feel emotionally better, they feel physically better. They get their sleep cycle back in mix, and all I need to know was, wait, you're telling me I do this thing for like an hour, I'm going to be able to sleep? Sign me the fuck up. So I find one in Alexandria, I think it was called Synergy Float, about $100 for an hour. And I go there like around 9 o'clock at night on a Friday. It was just me at that point. I don't think I told anyone I was going, because I didn't want anyone to think, oh, you're doing some type of like weird stuff. Like, are you going to get like into astrology and start working with like magic rocks and stuff? And I'm like, no, shut up. So I go there, and the first thing I see is this dude who looks like, and for the record, when you walk into the place, like, it looks very professional. It looks like a spa for the most part. But the dude that was at the front desk looked like a stoner. I mean, he was probably like my age. He looked like a stoner. And, you know, I told him the reasons I was there. I was also like, hey, I'm probably going to write a story about this for a magazine I write at, or a few other places that might want to take it. So I'm asking him questions, and he's like, hey, man, I'm going to show you this book of testimonials from people, and then I'm going to take you into this thing that will like really amp up your experience, since you're only doing this for an hour. And I'm like, only doing this for an hour? You're saying more people do this for like more than an hour? He's like, yeah, man, like, people could do this for up to 3 hours. At that point, I'm like, okay, you're straight tripping, boss, but okay, I'll look at your book. So I go ahead and I look at like this log book, like what you'd find at like a bed and breakfast or like a small museum or something, of people and where they're from, why they came there, and what they experienced. And like, people people go there for many different reasons. Sometimes it's just because they need to, you know, they've gone through a lot of physical stress, so they just want their body to just relax because, I mean, you're just floating there. It's peaceful. So a lot of that, you had some people that said they were under stress. A lot of people said they were there because they could not find any other way to disconnect from their phone, which I get it. I totally understand. I don't think we ever realize how much time we spend with technology until we're forced away from technology. The most I ever spent away from my phone was 30 days because of the Army. Because when you're out in training, sometimes when I did my officer advanced camp, you couldn't bring your phone with you. They took it away on like day three and you didn't get it till graduation. But I mean, you had a lot of people there, but then the things that people experience when they're in the tank, that too is just out of this world. People saying that they went through like astral projections and they could go flying. People say they saw aliens. One dude, I shit you not, said that he saw a flying dildo fly across the void, the blackness, the open nothingness of space and slap him in the face. And I mean, he must have been drinking prior to that because I have no clue how that could happen. But I mean, that was one of the weird things that you could read in this guest book. So I finished that and I'm like, dude, this is a lot of different things to a lot of different people, isn't it? He's like, yeah, man, you know, it's just you going into the deepest parts of your mind. So I'm like, okay, so what's this machine you want me to see? He's like, so it's called the Pandora Star. It's basically like a lamp where you lay down on this bed and they put this lamp over your eyes and they give you a pair of headsets. And basically you need to keep your eyes closed because what this thing's going to do is it's like a strobe light, except it's got like a ton of different colors and it, you know, flashes at different rates, very like high speed rates and stuff like that. So he's like, this is a Pandora Star because the shape of the bulbs are like a pentagram, basically. So immediately I'm thinking, okay, this is some Satan shit. But he also called it the electric DMT machine. I'm like, the what? The electric DMT machine? He's like, yeah, people also call it the electric Technicolor DMT machine. So I'm like, is this a drug? He's like, no, it comes with the same effects as DMT. So you're going to see colors, you're going to see shapes you can't describe. So I'm like, how long am I going to do this? And he's like, okay, for about 15 minutes. So I do it for 15 minutes, and holy shit, I've never done drugs in my life. I liked alcohol a bit too much at a certain point after college. But my God, I can't describe to you what that was like. I saw things that I will never be able to describe again. That thing was awesome. And that 15 minutes felt like forever. And he had Enya playing through the headset, so I was like in a completely different mellow state. And they pulled me out of it, and he was like, okay, it's time to go in the float tank. And it was great because now your senses are like super high alert, and now you're about to go into a completely sensory deprived place. So I walk into this room. He's like, okay, I'm going to close the door. You can get naked and go in there. And it's like a big pod where it's like you walk in, you press a button, then the top of the pod lowers on you. So I did that, dropped my drawers, and I went inside. And oh my gosh, that hour was something different because I had conversations with myself that I never thought I'd have. I was just in a state of pure peace. It was an hour, but it was like, I wasn't like asleep in that moment. I was in kind of like a meditative state, but I think towards like the last 15 minutes, I totally fell asleep. It's hard to do that when you're in water, but I did that, and oh my gosh, I drove home that night, and I slept for 12 straight hours. And for the next several days, I was able to just leave my phone somewhere in the house and go do something else. I was able to just be at peace because it was like I gave myself an emotional and physical reset. So like 6 months later, I'm talking to my girlfriend about this, and she's been going through a lot of stuff. And I'm like, hey, there's a float tank place like near your house, let's go. And she's like, well, I don't know. So I show her all the videos and stuff. I show her the Rogan clip, and then I tell her what I went through. I showed her the article that got published, which was a featured blog at medium.com in the mindfulness section. And she's like, well, sure, why not? And she's thinking she's going to go in the tank. Well, we go into this other place, and it was kind of intimidating, because instead of like the pod tank thing that I had used, these looked a bit more like meat lockers. They were like humid meat lockers. And honestly, they were kind of better than the pod, because you're a little bit deeper in the water. You have a little bit more space to move around, because if you're like me, you kind of kick around for a little bit. So she's looking at this and she's like, you want me to go in that meat locker? And I'm like, yeah, basically. So I go in mine, she goes in hers, and this time, because I kind of know what to expect, I'm just living in it. I feel like I'm going down a massive, giant amusement park slide at some points. I think I'm able to see stars. I mean, it's just, it's peaceful. It's on a different plane of just pure at-easeness, if that's a term. So I get out after the hour's done, and I'm just feeling great. I get some cucumber water that they had for me, and then she finally comes out. And this is a girl that had not been sleeping for days. So she looks at me, and I'm looking at her like she just came out of, like, you know, really bad hangover. And I look at her, I'm like, how do you feel? And she's like, I feel freaking amazing. So we sit there in the lounge area of this place, talking to the lady about our, you know, floating meat locker experience, and we're just happy. We get in the car, we don't say anything, just because we're just trying to catch on and maintain some of that lingering silence for just a little bit more time we could get. And we go back to her place, and when we sleep, it was just like pure REM sleep. Just pure, like, just you're out like a frickin' light sleep. And, you know, that was the second time I'm doing it. I'm planning on doing it a third time this February because, like, you know, it's not cheap. It's a good chunk of change. Got to work a little for that money. But I think it's great for several reasons. One, it gives you a sense of what is controlling you, what is forcing your mind to focus on things you don't want to focus on. Is it technology? Is it work? Is it personal things? What it does is it doesn't completely disconnect you, but what it forces you to do is to really take into consideration the amount of time that your mind is spending on things that you don't want it to spend on. Secondly, you know, someone that deals with, you know, chronic pain quite regularly, it gives you the opportunity to be in a state of comfort physically that you're not going to get any other way. I mean, just floating there in that, you know, warm tank, which is, I mean, it's not like too warm, but it's like the, you know, like room temperature warm, so it's fine. With that 1,000 pounds of salt, you don't have to worry about doing anything other than relaxing. And lastly, if you're like me and you have problems keeping consistent sleep, especially now since I work, I work nights primarily, like this will trigger that. I mean, you're going to sleep. Maybe, I don't think you can sleep during it. I had a hard time falling asleep during the therapy session, but afterwards, man, I'm out like Mike Tyson just knocks me out. It is something else. So that's my experience. If you go to the place in Alexandria that I went to and you try the Pandora Star, I think it's like $30 for 15 minutes. Man, let me tell you. It is, I think everyone should do it once. I don't think I would do that because, like, you know, big strobing lights and shit gives me migraines. But, like, that was a different experience. I think it's worth the shot once, especially if you're going to go do the tank afterwards. But, yeah, the electric Technicolor DMT machine. Yeah. Didn't make me see any flying dicks afterwards when I went in the float tank. But, I mean, you know, to each his own, right? But yeah, if you've done a float tank session before, definitely send me a message in on either Twitter or Instagram. If you send me messages on my fan page on Facebook, I'm not going to answer them. I just never see them. You know, technology and shit. But I will go ahead and read your float tank session on the next episode, just to kind of give people an idea of what it was. I mean, tell me if you liked it. Tell me why you liked it. If you didn't like it, tell me why you didn't like it. You know, to each his own. But yeah, that's about it. Go ahead and follow me on Instagram, Twitter, at HeyRemso. Let's keep this conversation going. And have you done a float tank session before? Are you going to? If you need recommendations on where to go, what to look for, definitely hit me up. I think float therapy is something that is great. I think it's beneficial. And I think everybody and anybody can get into something awesome like this, at least to try once. So that's about it, folks. Take care. Bye. You know, all I can offer is I can offer copywriting, journalism, or politics. I'm more than happy to tell you my mistakes and my opportunities and the things that I did and didn't do, so maybe I can guide you. But these are the lessons that I can definitely pass on with the experience. Live within your means. Don't live on credit. There's dignity in all work. And if you're going to do something, you might as well do it well. These are things that our parents told us growing up that I certainly didn't appreciate until I was in the thick of it. And I'm just hoping that maybe if you respect a little bit of what I say, maybe you can prevent yourself from making a lot of the hard decisions and going through a lot of the challenges I had to go through. So that's about it. I'm off to work for another great day at the Washington Times. Go ahead and follow me on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook at HeyRemso, HeyRemso, and I will talk to you later. Have a great day. Because no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Because no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. We got the right to do it, like we do it, like we do it. We got the right to do it.